Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here is your host of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Millennial Dentist. I'm Sully.
This is Holsinger. Let's get this started.
Let's get this party started. So tonight, we're going to be talking about a little bit of a non-dental podcast. So if you're not a dentist, this would be probably an episode that would be worth listening to. More of a small business type podcast. We're going to be talking a little about healthcare, health insurance, specifically high deductible health plans, HSAs, and kind of what seemed like kind of a raw, boring topic, Holsinger, but it's pretty interesting.
Yes, it is quite interesting how you can use it to your benefit.
Yeah, to your benefit. Personally, we get my health insurance through my wife. My wife has, because most of you know that if you have to get it through your work at a private insurance, it's much more expensive. So if we get it through her work, then her company pays for part of it. So she works for a startup healthcare company, and ironically, they have really crappy insurance. We have like two high deductible plan options. And just a quick synopsis, I guess, for those people who don't know what a high deductible health plan is. Basically, it's kind of what it says. Basically, you have a high deductible that you have to reach before your insurance is going to pay stuff. So, for instance, you could have like a $3,000 high deductible plan where you're in charge of the first $3,000, minus some stuff. I mean, they cover some things, preventative or exams. There's some things they cover, but for the most part, you're responsible for the first chunk of money,
which in theory makes total sense if you're healthy.
Yeah,
you go to the doctor a whole lot.
You're exactly right, because a PPO plan, if you have the option, which is going to be more of a traditional type health plan that you're used to, is going to be where you have like a copay every time, that sort of thing. It's more expensive in premiums over the year. So although it's coming out of your paycheck or whatever, and they're taking the money, it's costing you more money to not feel like you're paying as much when you go in for your visit. Whereas a high deductible plan, your premiums are pretty low, but you're going to feel it when you go to think. But in reality, it's not a bad deal either, because you get to pick more of where you're going. You know, you're not locked into some provider that you don't want to go to. So we're on like a $10,000 high deductible family plan. So pretty high. It's a pretty crappy plan. I think it's $3,500 individual or $10,000 for the family. So Caroline hurt her meniscus, I guess like a month or two ago. We're in January now. So we're like, well, we should wait to see what we need to do until the new year, so it restarts this year's deductible. So she went and got an MRI. MRI costs like $800. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. Because you know, it's like a co-beam on people for free half the time just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are just getting nailed with this $800 charge to see what's going on. After they had taken, you know, $175 x-ray, she goes in and has to have this done. So we start knocking off some of our deductible. And then the year hits, and now we got to have surgery. So it was kind of eye-opening, to say the least. So what I really want to talk about, though, is not necessarily the story about paying $3,000 to get her knee fixed, but more or less the options that you have with your high deductible health plan. So let's talk about one of the cool things that comes with a high deductible plan. And this is really what the topic is going to be about tonight is, okay, so you have this high deductible plan. And I learned a lot about this recently because with Caroline, obviously, having to have it. But I think it's good to know what you're getting into. So if you have a high deductible health plan, probably the overall biggest benefit is the ability to open up an HSA.
Mm-hmm.
An HSA is a health savings account. And basically, it's an account that you can save money to use on health expenses. What's really nice about it is it saves you on taxes. And if there's one thing that we love here at the Millennial Dentist, it's saving on taxes.
Save those taxes.
Not paying the government. So an HSA is triple tax free. So what's that mean? So if you've got a 401k and you save money, okay, and you're into that retirement plan, you don't have to pay taxes on the money. So an HSA is the exact same way. So you put money in, you get to write that off your tax line. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great feature. Now, just like a 401k, the money grows tax-free. So all that money that's invested, so an HSA can be invested just like a 401k can into stocks, bonds, whatever, can grow tax-free. Now, here's where it differs from a 401k. When you take money out of a 401k, when you're 60 for retirement, whatever, you got to pay the tax. So the beauty of 401k is you put the money in, you get to write the taxes off, it grows tax-free, and then when you take the money out, you pay the taxes.
So it kind of sounds like it basically functions almost like a Roth in a way.
Well, yes and no, because on the back half it does, because so a Roth IRA, you pay the tax immediately. Mm-hmm. So if you invest your $5,500 this year in a Roth IRA, you're paying taxes on that money.
Oh, okay.
So that money then grows tax-free, and then you get to take it out tax-free. You're not paying tax on it because you already paid the tax in the beginning. An HSA gets the benefits of both. You put it in tax-free. You get to write that off your taxes. So if you put in $10,000, you get to put on, you can't, you, okay, so for starters, I don't know what the single family, I'm a family, so it's $6,750, I think is what it is for a family.
I think it might be like $3,500.
That sounds about right. Yeah. So you get to put that money in each year to your HSA. Now, then you have the option of what do you do with the money? You can put it in an account and just let it sit there, or you can invest the money. Well, it's a good opportunity to invest the money because you get all those tax advantages we're talking about. So that's the only thing I'm thinking that's triple tax-free like that. You don't pay taxes on the front end, and you don't pay taxes in the middle, and you don't pay taxes on the back end if they're used for health expenses.
Wow.
So the benefit of an HSA is each year you're doing this, and you're healthy, you're accumulating money just to save for those rainy day times when you need the money. So whereas a PPO plan, you're paying a lot of premiums every year that just goes down the drain, kind of like renting, you know, mm-hmm. if you will. You're actually accumulating money that can be used when it's needed, and it's earning interest, which is great. Okay. So for the average Joe, what you would do in a scenario like this is if you've got a high deductible plan, is you need to be putting money into your HSA. Okay. Ideally maxing it out. At that point, then you should be investing it in something. We use HSA Bank to do ours. Their investing is through TD Ameritrade, and we're in a super low cost Vanguard index fund for ours. So we maxed it out. This year was the first year we maxed it out, and you know, we've got like, we've made like $200.
Wow, that's great.
And that's like work. So yeah, so it's just kind of nice. And we haven't used it for anything. So now it seems pretty obvious that when a medical expense would arise, that you would use the money to pay for the medical expense. Because basically you get to use you don't have to pay taxes on medical stuff, basically. So that's nice. And you get the benefit of growing the money tax-free. Well, it's not necessarily that simple, and I'll tell you why. I personally am a big believer in if you can afford to pay for the medical expense to pay out of pocket versus using your HSA.
Okay.
And so the question would be, well, why? You just told me that it's triple tax-free, you don't have to pay tax on the medical expense, why would you not want to use it? Well, the benefit is compounding interest over time of that money in the HSA growing is going to accumulate more than the money you probably would have saved by paying it then. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically, instead of using the money in the HSA to pay for your expense there, like if you have, let's say, just $1,000 in your HSA, you have it there and you have a $500 expense.
Uh-huh.
Instead of spending the part of $1,000 on the $500 expense, paying for it out of pocket, and then letting that money grow, and if you need the money, you can use that to reimburse it later. Is that correct?
Yes. So you even touched on an awesome point there. So, and we're going to touch on this now, I guess, is so what's awesome about an HSA is that you can reimburse yourself for a medical expense at any point. It doesn't have to be when the expense occurred.
That's fantastic.
So let's take our example for Caroline. So my wife, Caroline, had knee surgery yesterday morning, and it cost us like $3,000 for the scope to do her meniscus. So I had to make a decision. One option was, okay, we pay with this with our HSA card, and we saved up that money last year, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal. We take the hit there. We don't have to pay tax on it. It's happy. It's a great use of an HSA. Okay? There's no fault in this. And honestly, the question you got to ask yourself as a listener is, what is my financial kind of stability look like? you know, I've been out 2 years now. Caroline's been out for 6 years. So at this point in the game, we've been able to save some money to where, you know, we have a good of savings to kind of weather the storm on some of this stuff, which gives us the ability to do that. If you don't, or if it's going to make you, you're going to put on a credit card and you're going to get credit card debt or something like that. If you've got some loans that are getting out of hand, then use the HSA for what it's supposed to be. I mean, use it.
Yeah.
That's a great use of it. Okay. Take the money you've saved, use it for the expense. That's awesome. However, what we decided to do was take the money, was to pay for out of pocket. Now, and obviously I'm a big points guy as credit card points. So I'm like, okay, well, so I'm going to put it on my Freedom Unlimited so I could get 1.5 times points for it. So I get, you know, 4,500 points right there. And you just figure, okay, a Southwest credit, one-way Southwest flight's 9,500 points. So I'm halfway to a Southwest flight with having her knee done. is we do that and then we save her receipts so that now all that money in her HSA that we have untouched is going to continue to grow and compound year after year after year. So we're basically using it like another retirement account.
That's great.
So this year we'll max it out again and that money will continue to grow. And then at some point down the road, we have the ability to cash them in. Now, here's the cool part about this. As long as you save these medical receipts, you don't have to cash it in for anything. You're just cashing in for a check, right? So you cash in all your receipts, you write it off your taxes, boom, you get a check. You're not getting a check. You're just cashing out of your retirement account and not having to pay taxes on it for however the amount is of your receipts.
Hmm.
But you don't have to use it for medical expenses at that point because you're reimbursing yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So in theory, over the next couple of years, we have kids, we have expenses, we have surgery, whatever. Say we rack up 20 grand in medical expenses. We pay those all out of pocket. In the meantime, we're continuing to max out our HSA every year. That's compounding and growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
And in 30 years, we've got 50 grand in our HSA. Mm-hmm. We can then cash in those 20 grand in receipts, take out 20 grand of our HSA tax-free, and go on one hell of a vacation.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It is fantastic. So that's just a thought. So again, it kind of in recap of that, basically, a huge benefit to your HSA is the ability to reimburse yourself on medical expenses after they've occurred, assuming you have the receipts, and allowing that money to grow and compound. So let's kind of go on a little tangent here because we need to understand the big benefit of this is compounding interest, because the ability for that money to grow over time, tax-free, outweighs the tax advantage of the immediate expense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, Holsinger, do you have an HSA?
I do not.
How long have you had your high deductible plan?
Year and a half.
So strike one.
Yes.
And literally, this is, I love that we're doing this podcast because of stuff like this right now, because there's so many of our good friends and buddies who are like, you've hired a plan, or I'm thinking about, hey, I should open up an HSA. So go open up an HSA. Why have you not opened up an HSA?
For me, part of my contract for my office was I was supposed to get a HSA fully funded, which has not happened yet.
Dude, you should be parking down the freaking door. That's a lot of money.
I know.
We should call Ryan right now.
Let's call him.
All right, we're going to call Dr. Ryan. We're going to purchase some Skype calls here and make it happen. Give us just a second.
Hello?
Dr. Kreger.
Yes.
Welcome to the Millennial Dentist podcast.
Oh, my.
You are live with Dr. Selly and the whole shot.
How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Dude, we're doing great. We just wanted to talk about an HSAs with you for a minute.
Okay.
Because you currently have a high deductible health plan, don't you?
We do.
And are you taking advantage of an HSA?
You know what? I like to say that I am, but I have not set it up yet.
Right.
Need to.
Yeah, you do. That's like a huge opportunity for some tax savings. I can't believe King Waters hadn't gotten you doing that yet.
Well, they have talked about it.
Yeah, there's some super awesome advantages. We've been talking about on the podcast. So Caroline had meniscus surgery yesterday. So we had we have a high deductible plan too, and we have an HSA. So we're, you know, considering paying with the HSA. And so the benefit of the HSA obviously is like you put the money in tax-free, just like a 401k. It grows tax-free in investments, and then you can take the money out tax-free to pay medical expenses. So it's like triple tax-free, which is really nice. But one alternative for us being the kind of like a high income earner or someone who has the ability to pay out of pocket for medical expenses is that you can put the money in your HSA, allow it to compound every year, save your receipts, and then in 10, 15 years, cash in all your receipts and go buy yourself a boat tax-free.
Receipts meaning receipts for healthcare?
Right, for your medical expenses. Because basically, one of the cool parts about it is you can reimburse yourself for medical expenses at any point. It doesn't have to be like the year you used the you had the medical expense.
No, I did not know that. Is there a time limit on that or a term limit?
No, that's what's so awesome. So like Caroline, you know, she's racked up $4,000 in medical expenses over the past couple of months with this knee surgery. And so we've paid for it on a credit card to get the points, and we'll just, you know, because we could. And so what we've maxed out our HSA the past 2 years. So we'll just, that'll continue to grow, and it's compounding. You know, it's in Vanguard stock. So it's like, you know, 8%, whatever interest returns. And so in 20, 30 years, we can then take her receipts and literally withdraw the money to reimburse ourselves for those expenses that we've had, you know, whether it's kids, surgery or whatever, and have all this money that's been compounding cash free. Pretty cool.
And the money that remains.
So that's so that right. So the next question then goes, what do you do with next money? So unlike a 401k, there's no minimum distribution requirement on HSAs. So if you take the money out before age 65 on non-medical expenses, you pay a 20% penalty tax plus income tax. So that's like the worst possible thing you could do is if you take it out to buy a boat and you don't have the receipts, like you've, you know, say you get to 60 years old and you've got $200,000 in your HSA and you've got $50,000 in medical expenses. Well, you could literally take $50,000 out tax-free and use it for whatever the heck you want because you're reimbursing yourself for those medical expenses. But then the other $150,000, if you take it out, you're going to pay income tax on it, just like a 401k and a 20% penalty tax. But if you wait till 65, all that money is just like a 401k. You just pay the tax on it, but whatever tax bracket you're in at that point. So it's an awesome alternative investment vehicle, basically.
No, I've not been talked to about that.
Pretty slick, huh?
No, I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. So anyways, so you and Holsinger tomorrow seriously need to work on getting an HSA set up. It's not hard. It doesn't cost you a thing. And, you know, get your, I think for your for family, you could put in $6,750. So it's just like, it's another good place to put the money and save taxes.
Get with old Holsey there and tell him who you use.
Okay.
And we'll get it figured out.
All right, Doc. You have a good night. Thanks for joining in. That was fantastic. Shout out to Dr. Ryan for jumping on a call late night like this. That's super awesome and enlightening because that is like so many dentists and people. That's a huge savings he's missing out on. It's like, well, this was it. You know, he's got a higher plan. I think about it, but like, man, what an awesome opportunity. So hopefully y'all tomorrow, HSA Bank, do it.
We'll do it tomorrow.
I'm so glad we did that. That's our first call.
Yeah. That was a good one too.
It was a good one. All right.
It cost us 27 cents.
It did cost us 27 cents to have that call. So anyone wants to sponsor our Skype calls, we could do like Mike and Mike have the Subway Fresh Take.
Yeah.
We could have the Skype call of the day.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest tip I can give today with this is to check out the White Coat Investor. So, Daniel, have you been to the White Coat Investor?
I have not. This?
Wow.
What is it all about?
Right now. If you're in dental school or if you're interested in knowing more about personal finance and small business management or anything and everything that has to do with that sort of thing, this is a website you should check out. It's kind of like one of my, I don't know, probably one of my biggest resources for a lot of this. Again, none of this is my just knowledge. This is all just regurgitating from good advice and good people. But so what he is, he's a emergency physician And I would love to get him. We may have to get him on the podcast. I think he'd come on the podcast. Maybe talk about something. We could come up with a good topic for him to talk about. But anyways, he got screwed in a couple real estate deals by some guys early on in his career. And at that point, he was kind of like, you know what? I've got an MD. I'm a smart dude. You know, I'm smarter than all these guys trying to give me advice. I can figure this crap out. So he started this blog, which is now taken off. He's written a book and all this stuff. And it's basically his whole thing is how to help the white coat keep a leg up on Wall Street.
Wow, that's good.
So if you have questions about student loans, health insurance, disability insurance, medical insurance, small business health, I mean, you name it, it has to do with financial stuff and healthcare, go to this website. I mean, you will get lost on there. You will learn more than you need to know. Probably one of the biggest recommendations I can make. If you're a senior in dental school, go live on this thing because you're about to be sold everything from, you're going to have every sort of person walking in there trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
And you need to kind of know what's worth buying and what's not worth buying. And he's a, we're talking about a third party guy that's just, I mean, he makes money off his website, but it's like, you know, full disclosure. And the guy is like, I mean, he just does it to help physicians, mm-hmm. dentists, the whole nine yards.
I'll say one thing for me, like, it was difficult to handle was you're just finishing dental school, like in your last year, you're just starting your first year out. And then all of a sudden you're getting phone calls, you're getting emails, you're getting people to show up in your office that want to help you manage your money. I mean, they're finding you on LinkedIn, like people you don't even know, and they're saying, like, I really want to help you manage your money. And so it's tough to find somebody out there that really can, you can trust. And so that's good to have some knowledge by going to this website
and
learning.
Well, and you know, there's gonna be people out there, whether you're, like I said, in dental school or you're older and you've been practicing for a while, and you may be like, you know what, I want nothing to do with it. Well, that's totally, totally okay. But at the same time, I think you owe it to yourself to do enough research to be able to find the right people to help you.
Yeah.
Because these guys are good at what they do. So the first guy that walks up that's got a good sales pitch, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the guy that you should be handling your money or helping you with your insurance. I mean the first people that come across, you know, dental school, the Northwestern Mutual people are like buzzards on a dead deer.
Oh yeah.
And that's probably one of the worst disabilities that your dentist could go for. You know, so I think take the time to read a book. Even if it's a book a year, or spend some time on this blog, getting advice from the right. So Dad and I get in arguments from time to time talking about, because he's a big, he uses King Waters out of Dallas, and we're not going to hang on King Waters right now. Maybe another episode, but
it's going to be a long one.
But we have just differing opinions because he's a little more hands off and he likes how they deal things. But my whole thing is like, man, take the time to at least maybe get a third party opinion that doesn't have any interest in this situation. So like most of my comments are going to be based off of getting advice from people who have no sort of dog in the fight. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love the White Coat Investor, because he's a physician and he really has just a good straightforward opinion on what he thinks for a lot of these issues. Any other thoughts on medical insurance, health insurance, that sort of thing before we wrap up?
Man, I would just say about these high deductible plans, just kind of look at your benefits with the whoever you're using. Like I use Blue Cross and they have a lot of like membership discounts. And one thing they do is they have a fitness program where they really want their people that are insured to be working out, being healthy. Sure. Because I mean, it helps on their expenses for paying out stuff. And so they offer like a great reduced like gym program here in Middle Tennessee, at least. Where you pay $29 a month, and I'm pretty sure this is nationwide, but you pay like $29 enrollment, and then you pay $29 a month, and you get access to like bunches of gyms in the area. And I just joined this week, and I went to the YMCA here, which the Ys here in Nashville are really awesome. They're really nice. Really good workout facilities. But I just walked in there, and it's usually like $70 a month for someone of my age, and so I'm paying $29 a month. And I walked in, they're like, yeah, that's great. And then they just signed me up and gave me a membership card. And so, and not only that, I get access to like, those like work anytime gyms that like open 24 hours. And there's one right across from my office down in Franklin, Tennessee that.
You look like the kind of guy that's going to go work at it. 2 a.m. in the morning.
They told me I wasn't allowed to bring guests after hours when I wasn't staffed. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not going to be in here after hours. Yeah. Like, I'm just coming here on my lunch break.
You're like, look, I'll, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm just coming over here to pump some iron over my lunch break instead of eating food.
You should join our tribe. That's
yeah.
funny.
So yeah, check into that. And then they have like, I mean, eyeglasses discounts. They have like fitness classes, all kinds of cool stuff.
Sure.
Zumba. I'm not a big Zumba goer, but some people are. So check into it if you are.
Big Zumba goer.
Yeah. So.
Well, as we're winding down this episode, hopefully it's been eye-opening, intriguing. I love this conversation. I think it's so neat. Compounding interest fascinates me to begin with. And then just this opportunity you have another vehicle to save money and write off taxes. And that's such an awesome thing. So hopefully that's been good. But it's that time of the episode where we get the old whole shot tip of the week.
Today for the tip of the week. Oh, we got intro music?
We need to get some intro music.
Yeah. Well, since we're on a health topic, I had a different one lined up, but I'm going to switch it now.
Okay. Okay.
My tip of the week is staying hydrated.
All right. That's a good one.
Stay hydrated. A good rule of thumb is take your body weight, divide it by two, so cut it in half, and drink that many ounces of water a day.
Half your body weight in ounces.
Yeah. So I weigh 200 pounds.
He's a light 200 too. Like you yeah. kind of floats.
Might be 205, but let's just say 200 for a round number. And so half of a 200 pounds is 100, which is 100 ounces. So you got to drink 100 ounces of water, which is about 3 liters. So
have you done this?
I have not done it today. I was very dehydrated. But tomorrow.
We're 24 ounces of Bud Light in though, so that should help. That's like 24 ounces of water.
Yeah, basically. I should have been drinking Natty Light. Definitely that would have counted.
Well, great tip. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. And check back next week for another exciting episode of The Millennial Dentist.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.